Thank you. Good evening. Peace of the Lord be with you. Let us pray together. Almighty God, thank you for the gift of your Son. You worthily created the dignity of human nature and yet more wonderfully restored it. In your mercy, let us share the divine life and light of the one who came to share our humanity, Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, who sends the Word with angels, who is made flesh among all peoples, and who breathes peace on all the earth. Amen. In Christ we are bold to name our sin and cry out for peace. Holy God, we confess our sin before you. We replace compassion with competition. We seek what is mighty while ignoring the meek. We are quick to anger but slow to forgive. We have not put on love in harmony with you. Wrap us in the grace of your powerful word. Swaddle our hearts with your peace, that all we do in word or deed may reflect your love born among us. Amen. I bring you good news of great joy for all people. God has come among us in the child born of Mary, Christ our Lord. In Christ, your sins are forgiven, and you are clothed in peace. Thank you. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray. Almighty God, you made this holy night shine with the brightness of the true light. Grant that here on earth we may walk in the light of Jesus' presence, and in the last day wake to the brightness of his glory. Through your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
The Old Testament Bible reading is from the book of Isaiah, chapter 9. Let us listen to the word of the Lord. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as warriors rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. This is the word of the Lord.
The gospel reading is written in the second chapter of St. Luke's gospel, beginning with the first verse. Glory to you, O Israel. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in clothes and wrapped him and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be as a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on peace, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told to them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. The Gospel of the Lord. Let us pray. By the light of the Holy Spirit shining in our midst, open our hearts and minds, O God, to your word, present now and always, for the sake of your holy name. Amen. Sometimes the events in the Bible bowl us over with their massiveness and their sheer size. The picture in Genesis of God commanding the dark and the light to part, and one become night and one become day. And there is God calling the seven seas to come to the earth, and their waters spread around. And then he calls the land to rise up from this watery planet to make the continents massive. Massive deeds, if you begin to picture them and not just hear the words, but put a picture in your mind of how these things are so massive, how they are so magnificent and unexpected. The glory of God. Picture, if you will, hundreds of thousands of Egyptian chariots chasing after Hebrew slaves that are leaving the cities, and they come to the water, and Moses lifts his rod, and the waters part. So there's a dry path for the Hebrews to walk through. And then Moses lets down his arm, and God releases the hold on the water so that they come flowing back in. And what happens to all those thundering chariots? They're destroyed. Their horses are destroyed, as is their riders. Then there's a stillness over the sea. And think of the vision in the book of Revelation of the saints in heaven gathered in a multitude greater than the eye can see. An ocean of faces and white robes larger than the mind can conceive, an endless throng, their place, finding their place in their hymn books and triumphantly singing, Hallelujah, praise the Lord, glory, salvation, and power belong to our God. Compared to this, my friends, it would make, I think, the Mormon Tabernacle Choir sound perhaps more like a quartet than a choir. Beautiful, beautiful chorus. Beautiful choir. In the face of scenes of such magnitude, our attempts to remake these pictures on Christmas Eve every year seem frail. They do not seem massive at all. William Sloan Coffin, a former pastor of New York City's Riverside Presbyterian Church, once told of the Easter sunrise service when all the people were seated in folding chairs, and at the time when the tombstone was to be pushed away, a giant boulder was pushed off of the side of the Grand Canyon. It was on the other side where they were sitting, so they could see the boulder falling down. They could hear the great crash when it hit the ground and shattered. And Coffin said, That is what we need. That is more like the true drama of what was happening than we can ever imagine. Tonight is Christmas Eve, and the familiar story we just read from the Gospel of Luke is being played out in churchyards all over the country tonight. Little boys in their dad's bathrobes, little girls with great big angels on their backs, and a Mary and a Joseph sitting by the manger, shepherds and wise men sitting there, shepherds kneeling there, and the wise men coming there. We can all picture, probably we can remember a scene like that that we have seen or even been a part of. A church I went to in Maitland used to do a live nativity scene with live people on Christmas Eve, and even occasionally were able to rent a camel or a little lamb. Our kindergartners wore the little lambs quite often, dressed in their white suits. And we had angels. Our high school girls were standing up on the ceiling to a pathway, a walkway along the side of the sanctuary. And they would stand up, and they're about as high as those lights coming out. And one 27th of Christmas, maybe the 26th, the church got a telephone call from the local police department, which was just a couple of blocks away. About 8 o'clock, a man had come running in and said, let me in, save me, I'm dying. It turns out he was, and listen carefully, he was driving south in the northbound lanes of a six-lane highway. And as he's driving south, he says, the angels have come to get me. He was confident. All of us angels standing up there were just waiting for him. We try to put on these scenes, these vignettes, to remind us of Christmas. Let's look at the Luke story a little bit closer. I think it's important to notice that Luke does not try to dazzle us with spectacular scenes and magnificent descriptions. How bright was the shining glory of the Lord? Luke doesn't tell us. What did the angels look like? We don't know. Luke is silent on that point. How many of them were there? Do you read anything, any numbers that Luke gives? What exactly were the angels doing when they filled the sky with song? Luke didn't have any comment. And what about that newborn babe? What was on that baby's face? Luke does not tell us. He does not describe any of the elements that were there. His focus is on something else. And I think his focus was not on the people that were involved and what they looked like and what they did, but it was their responses to what was happening that Luke wants us to think about and begin to understand. The shepherds, we are told, were sore afraid. The people who heard the reports of the shepherds wondered at what the shepherds had told them. And Mary kept all these things, pondering them in her heart. As for the glory of the Lord, Luke is very, very reticent, but when it comes to those upon whom it shines, he breaks his descriptive silence and saves his fullest language to portray what happened in their lives and in their hearts. Luke moves our gaze from the light of the world to the places and the people that are there. The places and the people below all of this going on. And off to one side, we are told of the light which fills the world that particular night. And yet, we don't have a description of it, and we don't see it. We are instead the reflection of that light. We can see, if we picture it in our minds, a reflection on the faces and the hearts of those who are there. Those upon whom this light landed. They didn't just take it into their hearts, but they reflected it out. Surely one of the reasons that Luke does this is because he knew how arrogant it would be to attempt to do anything else. The glory of the Lord shone. Human language, and I don't care how many big floodlights or strobe lights you have all together and shining at once, or how many stars come into the heavens, nothing is as bright or as full or as commanding or as deep and moving as the glory of the Lord. Luke moves our gaze from the light of the world to the places and the peoples that are there. They are the ones upon whom he focuses. And we see that light reflected in their faces and in their hearts. I once watched on TV a kind of medley of Christmas vignettes, and they had their requisite scenes from Christmas Carol and It's a Wonderful Life, and then they had some music from some specials and spectaculars. The production was put on with high cost, and no expense was spared to make this magnificent show on TV to give people a taste of the real thing. And yet, as the lights began to shine, I'm sitting there watching it, and I'm thinking, that's supposed to be what the glory of the Lord looks like? I don't think so. They were trying to recreate what people saw. There was no way they could recreate what people experienced. What they saw meant, and how it changed the lives, at least of some of them, if not all. There's another reason why I think Luke turns our gaze from the light itself towards these faces. Luke wants us to search those faces and see our own faces reflected in them. We take in the light, and we aren't the light of the world, but we can reflect that light back out to the world, as the church has been doing for thousands of years in the name of Jesus Christ. So let us this night praise God for all that we have experienced, good, bad, or indifferent, because everything has gone into making us who we are today, the people of God. All of the nativity scenes around the world tonight, like Luke's gospel picture, is a picture of what happened. Nothing can recreate that spirit, that baby. Can you imagine the awe with which those people saw that little one in the manger? Take with you tonight not a picture of what was happening, but see in your mind the glory of God that permeated all of it. And know that that light of the world, that glory of God, is in you. And you reflect it to the world around you, and particularly to those you go home to tonight and spend some of tomorrow with, your family and your loved ones. And in this holy season, let us not forget those who don't have a home to go to or a family to gather. And there's certainly no big table with lots of food sitting on it in front of them. Let us pray for such as those. And in our hearts, ponder, as Mary pondered, what does that mean for you? How do you respond to such in this world? May the peace of the Lord be with you, and the glory of the Lord shine upon you now and forever. Amen.
Now profess our Christian faith using the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he arose again in accordance with the scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshiped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Let us continue with the prayers of the church. Let us pray together, joining our voices with the heavenly host and Christians throughout time and space. Let us pray for the church, the world, and all in need. Love proclaims that a Savior has been born to us. Inspire your church throughout the world to proclaim the good news of Jesus' birth to all who seek salvation, hope, and new life. Merciful God, love whispers to a weary world that the time for rest and restoration has come. Maintain healthy cycles of wake and sleep for all creatures. Where light pollution disrupts natural rhythms, encourage new practices. Merciful God, love cries to a warring world that the time for peace is at hand. Direct those in power who make decisions on behalf of others that they nurture and sustain all that is healthy, good, and holy. Merciful God, love sings through the wails of a newborn baby. Respond to all who cry out in pain, despair, or need this night. Bring comfort to those for whom separation, grief, or loss makes the Christmas season especially difficult. Merciful God, love murmurs words of comfort to a newborn child and exhausted parents. Bless new and expectant parents or caregivers, especially those who are alone or afraid this night. Pour out your love upon families of every kind. Merciful God, we pray for those on our prayer list, those we hold near and dear to our hearts, our visitors and our family here at Ascension. As we reach out to our friends and neighbors in this community, may Ascension truly be a place where your love is visible, and let it begin with each of us. Merciful God, God's ever-present love is proclaimed through the faithful who came before us. We give you thanks for Mary, John the Baptizer, Elizabeth his mother, Joseph the dreamer, and all who point toward your love. Merciful God,
rejoicing in your word made flesh among us, we commend these prayers to you, confident of your grace and love made known to us in Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks unto you, O Lord. Holy Father, almighty and everlasting God, and so with the church on earth and the host of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Please take your candle, hold it by one hand, and put your fingers on the bulb by the other. And please turn the bulb, and your candle will light. You turn it clockwise as you are looking down on it. The God of hope, fill us with all joy and peace in believing, so that we may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit, through Christ Jesus, the Word made flesh. Amen.
Go in peace. Rejoice in Christ our Savior.
Thanks be to God.
Amen.